We
are.
We
are.
We are cultivate.
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 We are cultivate.
Thank you so much for tuning into Weird Distractions Podcast. This is a weekly show where I, your host Alex, rotate discussing true crime cases, paranormal hotspots, eerie folklore tales, urban legends, and conspiracy theories to provide you, and more than likely what your local rhinestone collector would consider, a weird distraction from everyday life. This week surrounds a paranormal case from the United States, specifically an alleged spiritual possession case. Before we plummet into the episode, I'll be going over a bit of housekeeping and then I'll fill you in on what I need a distraction from. If you're just here for the episode, feel free to skip ahead about 3 to 5 minutes. In terms of housekeeping, there is a brand new, even weirder series episode out now on Patreon. If this is your first time tuning into the show, the Even Weirder series is a monthly bonus episode available to both tiers at www.patreon.com/weirddistractionspodcast. For as little as $2 USD a month, you can get bonus episodes each month, early access, ad-free episodes, and more. Now, in terms of what I need a distraction from this week, I would have to say it is just adjusting from being back on vacation. So for those who don't know, I recently went to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania to see the one, the only Miss Taylor Swift. It was a phenomenal show. I would highly recommend if you have the opportunity to go, to definitely go. I think I cried 10 times and yeah, it was phenomenal. But there's always that weird lull after you get back from vacation and get back into work and everything that's just overall exhausting. So I need a distraction from just trying to get back into routine of life. And I think there's no better way to do that than with this week's distraction. So let's just get into it. As I'm returning back to regular programming here at Weird Distractions, I am fully aware that the last few episodes have been based out of the United States. I promise that episode 168 is out of the US because I do want to change things up. Until then, we're going down to Watseka, Illinois to discuss the Watseka Wonder Case, a case involving an alleged spiritual possession, possibly the first documented in America. Due to potential coarse language and disturbing adult themes that could be discussed today, listener discretion is advised. Not only are we hypothetically traveling to Watseka, Illinois, but we're also doing a little bit of time traveling and going all the way back to 1877, specifically the summer of 1877, which I can imagine was both hot and stinky considering deodorant was invented until 1888. I'm assuming that was the least of Mary Lorancy Venom's problems at the time, though. Mary, who is seemingly referred to as Lorancy in some resources, was approximately 13 years old at the time, being born on April 16th of 1864 in Watseka to parents Thomas and Lorinda Venom. For simplicity's sake, I will refer to her as Lorancy moving forward just to follow suit with the other renditions of her life that had been already published. Accounts claim that Lorancy didn't seem to have much of a public record until she was about 13 years old, and that's when she came down with this weird sickness that no one could explain. Lorancy reportedly began to suffer strange seizures and spells that caused her to lose consciousness for hours and even days at a time. She had trouble sleeping, supposedly she just generally felt ill, and she began behaving out of character. But the weirdest of Lorancy's symptoms were these described trances she would enter. That's right, just when you think it's a case of becoming a teenager or some food poisoning, Lorancy was reportedly going in and out of trances when she would lose consciousness. During these trances, resources claim that Lorancy would come to and claim to her concerned loved ones that she spoke to spirits that were all around her. One source claimed that Lorancy, quote, told her family that she had been to heaven, had seen angels, and had visited her younger brother and sister who had died before her, end quote. Another resource, specifically from the Illinois Library, noted that a previous newspaper was quoted claiming she, Lorancy, could also place her hand on a book and without seeing it, would point to any letter that was named. These spells would last sometimes an hour or two. Then she became quite rational and appeared as well as ever, end quote. This reportedly continued to happen throughout 1877. Being there were no big celebrity breakups to dish about, word about Lorancy and her little situation got out. Between that and her family growing concerned that Lorancy was gravely ill, medical professionals were called in to take a closer look. After she had been examined by numerous doctors, the writing was seemingly on the wall after each visit. On the outside, there appeared to be nothing physically wrong with her, which led to the conclusion that her symptoms could only be caused by what they dubbed insanity, and it was suggested that she be sent away to an insane asylum. Before Lorancy was sent to an asylum, the Venom family had a very interesting visitor, one who knew exactly what they were going through. I'd like to introduce a man named Asa Roth, who had a daughter, also ironically named Mary, that supposedly suffered from the same unknown spiritual illness more than a decade before Lorancy. According to the American Hauntings website, Mary Roth's illness was a carbon copy of what Lorancy was experiencing. Trances, unexplained illnesses, lack of sleep, with no doctor being able to find a reason for any of these symptoms. Mary's experiences reportedly started in infancy, though, so at a way younger age than Lorancy. As Mary Roth got older, those around her reportedly encouraged her and allowed her to manifest clairvoyant abilities and speak to spirits, or so she believed. She thought that they were encouraging her, but at the end of the day, not everyone was actually convinced of Mary's supposed capabilities, which led to Mary Roth being sent to an asylum. Apparently, this is where she tragically died in July of 1865 at the age of 19, only a year after Lorancy was born. Mary's father, Asa, or potentially Asa, my apologies if I'm mispronouncing it either way, believed his daughter's abilities and experiences were true. And so it's claimed he begged Lorancy's family not to send her away to an asylum in fear that she would suffer the same fate as his late daughter. Thomas and Lorinda Venom agreed to take Mr. Roth's advice and further allowed for Lorancy to stay at the home and figure out what was going on. Rolling into the winter of 1878, Dr. E. Winchester Stevens, who not only was a physician but also a spiritualist, pays the Venoms a wee home visit in order to examine Lorancy. During this visit, Lorancy allegedly falls into a trance and declares that she is being possessed by a young girl. Technically, it's two, but we're going to get into that in a second. And a direct quote from the Illinois Library, quote, "Sometime in January when, after one of those trances, she declared that she was an old German woman named Katrina. But this illusion soon vanished and she became Mary Roth, a young lady who died 12 years ago." End quote. This is where things escalate on the old weirdness scale. Based on reports, Mary's spirit was not too keen on letting go of Lorancy's body. And when the Roth family found out that their daughter was now possessing Lorancy, they were also not keen on Mary's spirit going anywhere. Mary's spirit reportedly spoke to Lorancy's family and her own family through Lorancy, stating that Mary would continue to possess Lorancy's body while Lorancy's soul was being healed. Which is giving a, hey, while you wait for your main course meal, let's enjoy some free breadsticks kind of vibe. Mary also noted that Lorancy had allowed Mary to possess her body, so apparently consent was granted. Mary's spirit claimed that while Lorancy's soul was in the shop, she wanted to use the opportunity to visit with her family and friends. The Venom family was reportedly okay with this. They allowed Lorancy, well, Mary, to stay with the Roth family until Lorancy's soul returned to her normal body. Skeptics have said that this was maybe just Lorancy playing the situation to, I don't know, go stay with a new family. However, it's been stated that Lorancy didn't know Mary Roth prior to, and when Mary's spirit was speaking through her, she knew numerous events and people from Mary's life that Lorancy wouldn't have known. On top of that, Mary's spirit wasn't able to recall or reiterate any memory from Lorancy's life, including who was who in the Venom family and Lorancy's friends. Physically, it was Lorancy. Spiritually, though, it was Mary. Mary lived out of Drake's expression of more life as Lorancy for a whopping several months. She resided at the Roth's house, hung out with the Roth family and Mary's former friends, which everyone seemed to be cool with for the most part. Which is interesting because you would think that given the circumstance, people might have claimed that the Rancy or Mary was a witch or some kind of fraud that needed to be imprisoned immediately. But I couldn't find any of that information or any of those allegations. She was also never charged with anything spiritually related. It was just interesting that the community of Wetsika kind of just accepted this weird situation and were basically okay with it for the most part. But not all great things last forever, as I previously mentioned more times than I can count on the show. Mary allegedly announced on May 7th of 1878 that Lorancy's soul was returning to her body on May 22nd at 11 o'clock. Not sure if it was a.m., not sure if it was p.m. All I know is that it was apparently 11 o'clock. And as the clock arms gently hit 11 o'clock on May 22nd of 1878, Lorancy's soul returned to her body. I will mention, some accounts claim that Lorancy's soul came back on May 21st, along with minor discrepancy on details, but alas, from what has been mostly documented, Lorancy returned to life as normal, happy, and healthy. Some resources claimed that Mary's spirit stopped visiting Lorancy once Lorancy married a man named George James Binning, who reportedly didn't believe in spiritualism. I don't know if perhaps Mary's spirit tried to visit Lorancy one time and George was like, hey, I don't believe in you. You can't possess my wife's body. It's not really clear what the reason was, but alas, all we know is that George didn't believe in spiritualism, and maybe that meant that Mary couldn't manifest? Who knows? However, other resources noted that Mary's spirit stopped visiting after Lorancy and George started having children. Regardless, at some point, Mary's spirit stops visiting Lorancy and stops communicating through Lorancy. Lorancy and Mary's story would later be documented in a book by previously mentioned Dr. E. Winchester Stevens, dubbed The Wetsika Wonder. From what I gathered, other than the occasional visit from Mary's spirit, Lorancy lived a fairly normal life. However, everyone around her seemed to be very confused and very questionable of what took place. Spiritualists and critics of spiritualism were apparently enamored when they heard about Lorancy and Mary because it really begs the question if reincarnation was plausible. And if so, how would one be able to do this? Would it be inviting a spirit to possess your body for a short period of time, just like Lorancy may have done for Mary Roth? It really had people questioning their beliefs. One spiritualist who had ties to the case was Australian psychical researcher Richard Hodgson of the American Society of Psychical Research. According to the Astonishing Legends podcast, Richard reportedly believed in mental mediumship, but he was also a critic of physical mediumship. So he kind of reminds me of Harry Houdini, who believed in some spiritualist occurrences, but was set to disprove the fake ones. Richard had reportedly debunked some of these so-called mediums, such as William Eglinton, Eusapia Palladino, Henry Slade, and Rosina Thompson, to name a few. But when it came to Lorancy's case, Richard saw things differently. 13 years after the events took place, Richard reportedly interviewed witnesses, such as the Roth family and some half-dozen neighbors who had personal knowledge of what went down. I'm not sure if he interviewed Lorancy at all, it's not really clear, but alas, he did do some interviews. Now, based on the interviews and some of the documented information, which, as far as my understanding, wasn't a lot other than the book by Dr. E. Winchester Stevens, Richard Pulley believed Mary's spirit did possess Lorancy. From what I gathered, he tried to compare it to other similar cases where mediums would confess that they had been in communication with spirits before and was able to see some similarities between those cases and Lorancy's case. And a quote reported by Richard regarding his conclusion, quote, I have no doubt that the incidents occurred substantially as described in the narrative by Dr. Stevens, and in my view, the only other interpretation of the case, besides the spiritistic, topic that seems at all plausible is that which has been put forward as the alternative to the spiritualistic theory to account for the transcommunication of Mrs. Piper and similar cases, secondary personality with supernatural powers. It would be difficult to disprove this hypothesis in the case of the Waseca Wonder, owing to the comparative meagerness of the record and the probable abundance of suggestion in the environment. And any conclusion that we may reach would probably be determined largely by our own convictions concerning other cases. My personal opinion is that the Waseca Wonder case belongs in the main manifestations to the spiritualistic category. End quote. Not everyone shared the same thoughts as Richard. Some believe Lorenzi was simply playing some kind of in-depth facade to try and garner attention. One of those believers was a psychologist named Frank Hoffman, who reportedly was quoted diagnosing the situation and Lorenzi as, quote, a typical case of hysterical impersonation. Frank also made comments that the Roth family boosted Lorenzi's impersonation out of grief, which, as we know, grief can manifest differently in people. Some people devote their grieving time to work or to new hobbies or even to spiritualism. On top of that, some pointed that any weird spiritual happenings that allegedly took place were not actually properly documented, other than the book by Dr. E. Winchester Stevens. Mind you, given the time frame, I don't think anyone was sitting around with a camcorder taping everything. To this day, almost 145 years later, no one really seems to know the truth. Whatever happened, whether it was an actual spiritual possession, perhaps an act, or a bit of good old Illinois folklore, we may never know. That said, let's put the final bow on this week's weird distraction. Was Lorenzi possessed by Mary Roth, or was Lorenzi playing a part? This seems to be a question that will continue to haunt not only those residing in Waseca, Illinois, but anyone who has a fascination in the supernatural. Let me know your thoughts on today's topic over on the podcast social media accounts or shoot me an email. If you're a Patreon listening and have a topic suggestion, please don't forget to send it my way. Feel free to send me a message on the Patreon app or send me an email. If you're not on Patreon and you're thinking, hey, I don't want to pick a distraction, maybe there's a local haunted hotspot or a cold case that you want me to cover on the show, well, head on over to www.patreon.com/weirddistractionspodcast to see if either of the two tiers speak to you. Because yes, picking an episode topic is a Patreon perk as well. If you've enjoyed today's Weird Distractions episode, please consider telling your friends, family, coworkers, or anyone else who will listen about the show. You can tell them to find the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Good Pods, Google Podcasts, Podchaser, and many more. If you're streaming Weird Distractions or any podcast on a podcast platform that allows you to leave a rating or review, please consider leaving a rating or review because that is the best way and the cheapest way, because it's free, to support your favorite podcasts. Another way to support the show for free and to never miss an episode is to follow along on the show's various social media accounts. You can find Weird Distractions over on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. My handle is @WeirdDistractI1 and on TikTok. Do you want to financially support the show and get yourself a little something extra each month? Why not join one of two tiers over on the Weird Distractions Patreon? Each month you get exclusive content, such as bonus episodes and bonus series, such as the Even Weirder series, the Weird Destinations travel posts, plus early and ad-free access to regular feed episodes. You can find out which tier is best suited for you by going to www.patreon.com/weirddistractionspodcast. Shout out to my current patrons, aka my weird little family members, Tom, Bailey, Angela, John, Alicia, Lynn, Susan, Jennifer, Shadow, Courtney, and Cheryl. I love you and appreciate your support so much. Without you, Weird Distractions may not be what it is today. Lastly, I want to hear from you. I would love to collect your stories of paranormal encounters, too close to home true crime cases, maybe even some weird MLM experiences, or maybe just in general weird things that you've encountered so that I can continue to release the Listener Distractions series. And you might be tuning in for the first time and you might not know what I'm talking about. This is a series that Christy and I originally started where we would read your personal experiences on air. If you have a story you want to share, please email me at weirddistractionspodcast@outlook.com. As well, send me feedback. If there are any corrections needed to be made after today's episode, please let me know. And as always, if you need a distraction, I got you. Bye.